The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You're listening to Politics and Issues with Larry Marino.
Stephen Moore is joining us right now. We are going to talk everything economic. He, of course, has the Unleash Prosperity Hotline. It's a must read. I get it every day, and I really appreciate it. It's kind of like show prep for us. Thank you so much, Stephen Moore. How are you?
Hi, Larry. Doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, a lot of stories to go over this week. The Twitter confession to Hunter Biden cover-up. Elon Musk is rolling this out piece by piece, but something that I think we pretty much knew was going on is, you know, the Hunter Biden story and the laptop pretty much killed by traditional media. And of course, we now see the thumb of Twitter was heavy on the hand of covering that up as well, right?
Yeah, not only Twitter, but also, you know, in conjunction with the FBI and the Justice Department, which really calls into question the fairness of our justice system right now. I mean, this is a major, major scandal of Watergate proportions. And guess how much time the network news stations have covered this? Not much. They've yawned. And this isn't really a story. When this is a big story, it's a big story of corruption. It's a big story about the violation of freedom of speech. It's a story about how the media ganged up on Trump and made false charges against him. And of course, it's a story about how the media has swept the Hunter Biden story, which is very real. And it wasn't, as Judy Woodruff said to Donald Trump, unsubstantiated. It's not unsubstantiated. It is true. And so it's disgusting, quite frankly. And when is the media going to start paying attention to this story?
Now, let me ask you to put your, you know, libertarian hat on. If I buy an outlet, don't I kind of have the right to do with it whatever I want to? In other words, you know, there is some independence that you can buy a newspaper and you can be a left-wing rag or a right-wing rag. I mean, so how can we at the same time be for libertarian ideas and also be against what happened?
So I agree with you. I agree with what you said. It's their platform. They can do whatever they want with it. What I object to is Twitter pretended that they were just safeguards of the truth. And what is the term that they use? You know, false information that they didn't want out there when it wasn't false information. And so that's number one. Number two, I think the big story here is how the legal system, the justice system, was also, you know, collaborating with Twitter. And I find that to be, you know, as a libertarian, really frightening.
So how do we fix this? If, like you said, the mainstream media is not carrying this story, I think that same thing is going to happen when the House Republicans, who can have all these hearings, start doing their,
right.
You're going to be talking to the choir, because the ABC, CBS, NBCs, no way are they going to give, you know, prime time slots to carrying stuff. Do we expect them to suddenly change their style?
Yeah, if only they'd give one-tenth as much attention to this story as they did the January 6th commission. So you're right. I mean, look, this has been the case, you know, it's getting worse, but the media has never been on the side of conservatives, and now we see this exposed. And it's a reason, by the way, why every poll shows that Americans just don't trust the media today. Two-thirds of Americans don't trust what's on the network news. And now we now know why they don't, because they're not telling you the truth.
Yeah. Lots of other quick stories to get to. One I didn't get a chance to talk about last week, and I don't know if I saw it on your area or not, maybe not, and this is the California Reparations Task Force.
That was ours.
Whoa.
Yeah, we covered that. We were so outraged.
Whoa.
I mean, it's the most outrageous thing that I've ever seen. You know, where basically they're talking about as much as $500 billion in reparations to descendants of slaves, whether they grew up in California or not. I mean, the whole thing is so absurd. Where are they going to get $500 billion, by the way? I mean, they just, unfortunately, California is not the federal government. California can't just print money.
Right. But here's what I heard someone make the argument. If indeed this money is owed, then what about all the Civil Rights Act and the Fair Housing and Lending Act and all the things that have been put in place to help right or wrong? And then I heard someone say, no one who was a slave is alive today, and no one who was a slaveholder is alive today. So you're kind of going down an awkward path here, aren't you?
Well, I mean, look, slavery happened, 150 years ago. So, you know, how can you basically say that one person is owed money for things that happened a century and a half ago? I mean, it really doesn't make any sense. What we need to do is, Larry, is make America a land of opportunity for everyone, regardless of their skin color. You know, and this is a land of opportunity, and we need to make sure we're a colorblind society. What really bothers me now is the left is the one who doesn't want America to be a colorblind society. The left is the one that wants, you know, reparation payments. The left is the one that wants racial preferences and things of that nature, which is, you know, it's contrary to the whole idea of what Martin Luther King talked about, you know, 40, 50 years ago when he talked about, people being judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin.
Yeah. Could this really just be a political ploy by Democrats to make this a wedge issue, to give Gavin Newsom the tool he needs to run for president? And, hey, when you give away money, you tend to get votes. This would solidify the black vote for him. I mean, doesn't everything come back to politics?
Boy, you're even more cynical than I am, Larry. Yeah, of course, everything's politics and political coming out of Sacramento and coming out of Washington. And, you know, we saw that you're right. In some cases, this can work. I was noticing and looking at the returns of the midterm elections, which were a disappointment for Republicans for the most part. And what I discovered was that young people dramatically voted for Democrats. Well, guess what? Joe Biden was promising young people, we're going to forgive your student loans.
And how's that turned out? Apparently, there's not a judge who wants this thing to go forward. Every time they get to another judge, he says, you're right, this really is something that should be decided by the courts and not, you know, it should be the Congress should be the one to pass it. Of course, I don't want to say that too loud, but, you know, we're in that lame duck session where if you get enough Republicans coddled together, you can actually pass this kind of thing. So let's not tell them, right?
Well, you brought up the lame duck session of Congress, and that's something I'm really worried about. And so for people who don't follow this as closely as you and I do, a lame duck session of Congress is a session that happens after the election and before the new Congress is sworn in. So a lot of the people who are voting for legislation and giveaways and things are people who've already lost their election. They've been booted out of office by the voters, and yet they're still voting on legislation. And so these are, quote, lame duck legislators. And the big deal that's going on right now, Larry, when you talk about the overall economy, is they want to do a massive spending spree before they go out of office, you know, as big as $500 billion. And it's almost like, you know, there's nobody guarding the chicken hen right now. And so I'm concerned about that, too, because we know we're already running $1 to $2 trillion budget deficit. Says again, where is all this money going to come from?
Yeah, and I've got a question. Why do they always seem to coddle 13 or 14 Republicans together to vote for things like this? I mean, what's the deal with that?
Well, you mean in the Senate?
Yeah. I mean, this seems like...
Because they have to cap 60 votes to pass these things. And even, you know, Republicans have, Democrats have 51 and the Republicans have 49. So, they have to, I don't know. That's a good question. I guess the answer is that this is an answer that's appropriate for the season, is that even Republicans like to play Santa Claus, Larry.
All right. You have a story. Job market is hot, but not as hot as advertised. What's the story?
Well, it is a good jobs market right now for people looking for jobs. There's something like almost over 9 million job openings across the country. So that's a good thing. You know, I want to see this country, you know, the workers do as well as they can. The problem is that wages are not rising as fast as inflation is. And so people with jobs are falling behind economically. We estimate at the Heritage Foundation about a $4,000 loss per worker in their take-home pay, you know, in terms of what they can buy with their money, because inflation is still a big problem out there, Larry. Now, it's come down a little bit. That's the good news. We're not seeing 9% inflation like we were a few months ago, but you know, the inflation rate's still running at about 6 to 7%. That's a lot of inflation.
So why don't those workers say, pay me more and drive up inflation even more? Do they get it that if they ask for more, the company is going to go out of business? Or what is the business thing going on?
Yeah, that's the big, I think that's the big conflict right now. You saw what happened with the rail strike, where the worker said, we want a 24% pay raise. Now that, over 3 years. Now that may seem like a lot, but when you've got 7-8% inflation, you know, 24%, do the math, a 24% raise is just basically keeping up with the cost of living. So we've got to bring this inflation rate down. The other big story of the week is everybody's speculating about what the Federal Reserve Board will do. Will they continue to raise interest rates, which sucks a lot of the money out of the economy? And that is something Wall Street does not want to see, because Wall Street is also addicted to this cheap money. So, you know, this is a precarious time for the economy. We just don't know whether we're going to go into a crash landing with all of this money that is been put into the economy, and now we have to suck it out. And will that cause all sorts of problems with the economy? And, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, so I don't know. But a lot of economists are saying, you know, enjoy this ride while we have it, because it's going to come to a screeching halt in 2023.
I know last time we talked about your banking days when you were a teller and interest rates, and you shared your story about that. And I remember during the Carter years having an account that got me 7% and 8%. And my dad was saying, hey, just layer out a bunch of these and you could retire and just have the money come in each month with $1,000 or so. And it was like, in those days, that would have been pretty good.
Yeah. Well, that was a different era, but it, you know, when you had inflation as high as 10-11% under Jimmy Carter, and yeah, you're right. And interest rates went through the roof. You know, right now we're looking at 7% mortgage rates, which is really high because they were 3% under Trump. But I think you and I, Larry, are old enough to remember when there were 17%.
Oh, yes. My parents bought a mountain home and they had a 16.5% interest rate. Boy, they paid that down quickly. They paid that thing off fast. But
I hope they refinanced it at some point.
They got that done. But you're right.
Yeah, we got a problem now with the housing market, because as the mortgage rates go up, the price of buying a house goes up. And, you know, the housing market is, you know, central to our economy. So, you know, there are a lot of warning signs out there. We might be able to skate through this, but I'd like to see some economy in Washington. You know, let's stop living beyond our means. Let's start paying our bills. Let's start balancing the budget. I know these are old fashioned ideas, but, you know, they sure work. Mm.
Stephen Moore, put in a plug for the Unleash Prosperity Hotline. How can folks
This is just a free economic newsletter we put out every morning that's very popular. You can read it in 5 minutes. And just, if you'd like to get it, and I'm not telling anybody anything because, as you know, Larry, it's free. Just go to the Committee to Unleash Prosperity website. That's Committee to Unleash Prosperity, and sign up for the web through the web for the hotline. And we'll be emailing it to you within a week.
All right. Thank you, Stephen Moore. Appreciate it as always. We love your economic discussions.
Thank you, Larry.
You're listening to Politics and Issues with Larry Marino.
Coming up, the founder of Tusk, the CEO of Tusk, the world's first truly free speech-based browser, Jeff Bermant. He's joining us right now to talk a bit about, well, the whole Twitter story, Elon Musk, the things that have being revealed, the things we're learning, and all that. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, Larry. Great to be on your show, and thanks for inviting me.
So as we tape this show today, Elon Musk is putting out drip by drip the story that, Twitter not only had the thumb on the scale for Biden and helped cover up things on the laptop, the Hunter Biden laptop, but that there was some interactions, regular interactions, between the FBI, the Justice Department, and Twitter to bury these stories. And Twitter doing it in the guise of, you know, wanting to protect everybody from fake stories. Your reaction first, as a guy who is, you know, now in the sphere of the internet and big tech and, you know, making your way into this field. What's your reaction? I mean, is it a free-for-all out there? I mean, technically, you guys can put the thumb on any scale you want to. You're private business, right?
Well, yes, you can. I mean, that's part of the beauty of capitalism and privacy. However, I believe you're breaking the law when the government is, you know, giving you these hints of you should ban this or not talk about that. that's where I think you draw the line. And I'll be interested to see, you know, what happens in the future with Congress.
Do you wonder, though, if anybody will ever be tried, or, you know, you'll see the handcuffs go on and the shackles, because we've just lived through, you know, the 4 years of Donald Trump in which the dossier wasn't really legit, and going to the FISA court several times. We don't have to rehash this, but all these hearings, and I don't think very many people are in jail right now.
No, no one's in jail. You know, I think about the Trump story. And, you know, you have to understand that they told Trump, you're not under suspicion. You're not under suspicion. And what they left out, which is really terrible. Oh, but your organization is under suspicion of working with the Russians. And nothing happened to these people. They went to the FISA court. They lied to the FISA court. And yet there's no penalty to these people. I mean, it just seems insane.
You know, I have a theory. And I don't know. You can check me if you think it's right or wrong. That conservatives, Republicans, hardworking business people kind of are engrossed in getting their business to survive and thrive. And Democrats and liberals go into government and they become part of this entrenched bureaucracy. And you can have leaders come and go, but the people in the back office by far are lefties, and they're going to further their cause.
Well, it kind of feels like it. I can't prove that or disprove that. And if I go to do the research on Google, I probably won't find any results on it, because they would bury that story on page 11 too. So, it feels like that there's no real repercussions to these people that create these false things. I mean, the Biden story, I'll be interested to see anybody. There should be somebody who authorized the FBI to have these discussions with Facebook and with Twitter, and they were clearly, they broke the law by hinting and suggesting that this was Russian disinformation. And yet I don't think anything will ever happen to these people. And we'll have congressional hearings. It'll be showboated, but nothing will come of it. And that's maybe hopefully a law, but I even doubt that, because in the interest of Democrats, do they really want to, handcuff themselves? They seem to, you know, say things and do things, and then there's no repercussion by the news media, except for Fox and a few others, Breitbart. It's incredible.
Yeah, no surprise there. And some of the alphabet channels, the ABC, CBS, NBCs, how many do you think will actually carry any hearings live on the air like they did for the January 6th for the Democrats and the House investigation controlled by Democrats? I don't think they will. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I doubt it. I mean, they didn't cover, I think all the major ABCs, NBCs, CBS didn't cover 1 minute of the Twitter story release, which is big news. And we all kind of knew this was happening, and they just either called it old news or just didn't report on it. I think CNN called it old news. Why rehash it when they never even had news about it? NBC, ABC, and the rest of them were just silent.
So I'm going to take the other, I'm going to switch hats here, and I'll come after you in a friendly way. As a businessman, entrepreneur, you've, you know, worked in the real estate industry, developer before that. I mean, welcome to capitalism. If you don't like what's going on, buy yourself or build yourself a network, or, you know, the LA Times sold for not that much money. People could have bought that and made it a conservative paper, but they don't. What is the deal with people who complain about the liberal media but don't buy or build themselves just as powerful a voice?
Yeah, I can't answer that. And you're so right. I mean, that's what's great about Musk and, you know, guys like me, who I don't tout myself, who are building things because we're capitalists. And we believe, okay, well, we'll just have to build our own, because obviously we're not going to get a fair chance on Google. We're not going to get a fair chance on Twitter. And thanks to Musk, things will change there. If the government doesn't somehow swoop in, and I if they were going to swoop in and do something, they would have had to do it before the release of the Musk story. So I'm hopeful they're just talking about, we're watching. Whatever that means, we're watching. Twitter, I'm not even sure I know what that means, but it sounds, you know, doesn't sound good. Yeah. So yeah, we have to build our own, because And what that means, but let me point this out. Without the viewership or the readership, we can start all these companies, but unless conservatives, and there's 100 million of us, unless we support each other, you know, we're not going anywhere.
You're a guy who's gotten into the web browser business. What can you tell us? I mean, without sharing too much research, do people pretty much stick with the brands that are out there? I mean, they're very dominant. They're easy to use. And you don't even know that you didn't get a fair search, that their algorithm squeezed you out. I mean, the average guy or gal using a computer who may be a conservative may not even think of that there is a choice.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I think a lot of conservatives think that Google's unfair and they don't use Google. You know, they use DuckDuckGo or Brave. However, the funny part about that is even those companies that are giving you privacy, people get confused between privacy and you know, political things. So they think, oh, well, I'm private and I'm getting political. And I always challenge them and say, well, type in laptop and see what your results look like. And then they're shocked to see that the results are all liberal or most of liberal. And that's what we're trying to solve. We're trying to solve that problem, which is to give everybody a fair shake. And the only reason I'm saying give everybody a fair shake is because we as conservatives believe in letting the other side talk. We think it's good, but we don't think that we should be drowned out. And that's why I'm building what I'm building, is so we have a voice, but you can see what everybody else is doing. And it's about free speech. And Musk is 100% right. Now, where I worry a little bit is has he gone off the rails about who he's censoring? And, you know, I look at the laws of the United States and say, I don't censor people unless you're going to create harm.
So are you for nobody being censored and leaving it as a free-for-all? Because the left is quick to say, well, that allows some really bad hate speech with quotes around it to get out there. And, I mean, that's its own topic. But, you know, do you think there should be some things limited? Is there any topic?
I think when it comes to possibly creating a crime, then that should be reported, because if you don't report a potential crime, then the crime occurs, you know, you didn't do the right thing. What we really need to do is try and get by his side and say, you know, why do you hate? What's the story? Versus just censoring them. And don't forget, you have the right to censor anybody you want. You just don't talk to them.
Sure. Let me ask you this. What do you think about the stories swirling about fake reviews on the internet and how the government's starting to look into that? That, you know, anybody can post anything. You can put up a fake thing saying that, you know, this Tusk is the greatest site ever, and you can click it away and send it off or give a reward for people who type it in. And that's legal. I mean, is that just the game of capitalism? It's the internet's a free sphere and it should stay that way. And, you know, buyer beware, if you happen to look at reviews about browsers, realize that it could be rigged. I mean, and that's just how it is. I mean, what's your reaction to the people who say there has to be order here?
Well, I'm much more of a, you know, you do your research before you download something or you believe someone. You see ads every day on TV or whatever, and I go do the research to make sure this is something I want to look at. But having some sort of czar in there who is checking everything, where does it end? I mean, the government already seems to want to have their hand in deciding what you should see and what you shouldn't see. And what, I mean, 51 or 52 quote unquote experts said that the Biden laptop story was disinformation. I mean, that's just nonsense. And these people should be criminally held for this. Of course, they worded it in a way that they think they can wiggle out.
Yeah, that's how it's done. And free speech. And by the way, free speech does not have to be accurate speech. Free speech
that's
is
correct.
Free speech. So you have the right to push whatever out. I mean, look at political advertising. All the stuff that is just thrown up on the wall to literally destroy somebody, and they just smile and go on about it to the next election. And that's the that's how free speech works. It's ugly. It can be fake or false, but that's free speech. And you're right. If you get somebody in there, a group of 52 people, you end up with the Ayatollah getting to keep his account and the president being blocked. I mean, that's what happened, right?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what happened. Free speech is a very interesting animal. I mean, it cuts both ways, but it's important that we keep it. And I'm kind of old school about free speech. And, you know, I think you do your research, but you personally do your research before you get into something. We have to keep free speech. Otherwise, we end up like China.
Jeff Berment is the CEO of Tusk, the world's first truly free speech-based browser. We thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Larry. Enjoyed talking to you. Have a great day.
You're listening to Politics and Issues with Larry Marino. AM 590, The Answer. You're listening to Politics and Issues with Larry Marino.
Congressman Ken Calvert is joining us on the news line right now. Thank you so much for being with us.
Happy to be here with you, Larry.
Well, first off, congratulations on your reelection.
Right. Well, thank you. Yeah, we ended up winning that by 5 points and over 11,000 ballots. They just counted the ballots slow.
What was it like for you to go through that process? I mean, these protracted elections where they take days, if not weeks. Any thoughts or feelings?
Well, it's frustrating. You see a state like Florida or Texas when they get the results in one day, and it takes us almost a month to get the results. That's just not right. And we need to fix up the election process here in California. It's obviously not working.
And then with the reelection comes a House majority. Republicans will have that. What does that mean, whether it's one member or 30 members? Some say it's not as many as you wanted to get in the majority, but how does it feel having that majority?
Well, as our Speaker-elect Kevin McCarthy says, the gavel is just as big with a 5-vote majority as it is with a 30-vote majority. Obviously, we would have preferred 30, but 5 is a majority. And we're going to first put a stop to the legislative agenda of the Biden administration, which can only be good for America. And then we are going to pass our own legislation to try to get this country back on track. And one of the things that we want to put on his desk is to have additional American energy production to help our allies in Europe, around the world, and the United States to make a lot of money at the same time. And we'll put it on his desk, and we'll see if he care more about the United States and energy production. Or is he going to choose to inflict more harm in the name of climate alarmism and the radical green agenda? We'll see. But we're going to put those bills on his desk.
There is this lame duck session, that term that's been used, that goes on right now. And people worry about what could be passed in that because Democrats know they're not going to have the ability to do it later. Does that concern you?
Yeah, some of it does. I mean, some things like the NDAA, which will have bipartisan support because we were able to do some changes in that that will help the United States military. The United States military needs all the help they can get. We're operating the military under a continuing resolution. Obviously, I'm the incoming chair of that Appropriations Committee. We're losing over $1.5 billion a week operating under a CR. And, of course, it affects the morale. It affects our ability to enter into new contracts, especially like for hypersonic missile systems or additional ships, our Virginia-class submarine, our Columbia-based submarine. So we need to get a bill that will fund our United States military.
Well, and you kind of answered a question that I had. I wondered why so many Republicans were going on to approve some of these things. Why not wait until Republicans have control? But you're right. There's certain things that need funding and can be fixed. Explain that, because I think a lot of our listeners are, you know, solidly Republican and wonder why any Republican votes for anything the Democrats put forth.
If you start the process over again, it'll take months, and the military doesn't have months. The United States military has never operated for a full year under a continuing resolution. And as I said, a lot of people don't realize that it's the largest enterprise in the world, entered into thousands of contracts every month. And so if those contracts expire under a continuing resolution, have to be renegotiated, all of them, it costs us a tremendous amount of money. And also on the morale side, the pay raise for the our troops, these young, you know, privates and corporals and sergeants who are struggling to get by, none of that happens. And so we need to get this done for the military. And I know we need to lower non-defense discretionary spending. But look, China doesn't operate under a continuing resolution. They just spend the money the way they choose to spend the money, and they're right now building up a military that will surpass ours if we don't get on the program.
Congressman Ken Calvert is with us. We're talking about a wide variety of issues. When Republicans take control of the House, they'll have controls of the purse strings. They'll also be able to set all the committees and what they're about. And I hear there's going to be lots of investigations. That's interesting. I mean, there's a lot that we're not hearing about that has been suppressed that I think conservatives and Republicans want to hear about. But they also want to get things done. Do you think if the House spends its time just doing investigations and not working toward, you know, lowering fuel costs and other things, they will have missed their opportunity?
Well, I'm hopeful that the president may try to reach out and meet us somewhere. Hopefully more than halfway, and to help solve some of the problems that are facing America. But part of it is accountability. You mentioned that. I know that an accountability has been lacking with the Biden administration. You know, for instance, immigration laws that are on the books to protect our border. Obviously, the failure at the border has been well documented, and we need answers to that. And then we need the president to work with us to solve that problem. And part of that is enforcement at the border. And I also, from a defense side, I want to look at what happened in Afghanistan and why did that withdrawal was so disastrous and it ultimately cost the lives of 13 U.S. service members, one of which is from my congressional district, Lance Corporal Nakui. So, yeah, we'll have these investigations, but we want to get the progress at the same time, and I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Do you have any concerns?
Obviously, this 87,000 new IRS agents, for instance. I think one of the things we're going to put on the floor is to reverse those hirings because we don't need 87,000 IRS agents going into a potential recession that's going to come after hardworking Americans who are being honest, I think. My constituents are continuing to experience in delays just getting tax refunds or resolving tax issues with not having audits. So perhaps the administration should focus on customer service rather than just deploying thousands of more agents just to audit regular Americans.
If investigations are done, do you think Americans will truly hear the whole story? In that, I wanted you to comment if you'd like on Elon Musk, now that he's CEO and taken over Twitter, is revealing these documents that indicate the thumb on the scale and the relationship between the Biden administration and suppressing stories. I mean, do you think these investigations will actually be reported on by the left-leaning media?
No, the mainstream media obviously is not interested in covering that because they ought to be embarrassed by what happened, for instance, to the New York Post and, you know, when they were pulled off of Twitter. When they were exposing the Hunter Biden computer. And so that needs to be looked into. I'm grateful to Elon for getting that information out to the American public. I wish he'd get it all out at once for we can immediately start looking at that. Maybe there'll be one of the mainstream media that have enough of a guilty conscience to start reporting what really did happen. But I'm not holding my breath, Larry.
Yeah. So you hold all these hearings. Who covers the story? It'll be the same conservative media that covers it, and you dial around to the ABC, CBSs, and you won't see a thing. And I guess that's part of freedom of the press, right? I mean, technically, we can't make them cover it.
No, but we can. You know, there's other ways to get the news out there. As you know, Twitter obviously is going to, you know, probably will get out on Twitter. It'll get out on blogs, it'll get out on more of the conservative media. But, and I think some of the mainstream media will be forced to cover it. I don't think it'll be altogether just dismissed, because I think this is such a explosive information by what the administration did directly, apparently, to interfere in an election process by censoring information that they knew to be true.
All right, want to jump around real quickly. You mentioned China. Let's talk about China. Let's talk about Russia. Let's talk about Ukraine. Where does all that shift or change with Republican control? It seems from my perspective that there's some differing viewpoints on the continual funding of Ukraine. I know that Zelensky comes to the U.S. and walks away with billions of dollars that's really unregulated. And on one hand, you know, you don't want Russia to win, so you kind of have to prop them up. But on the other hand, it's a lot of money that could be spent here. When you follow this subject, what do you hope happens in the next year?
Concerning Russia, obviously they invaded a country, a neutral, independent country on their border. Their intent was to take Ukraine in a matter of days, then kill Zelensky and the leadership of Ukraine, then take Moldova, and then take the Balkans. Obviously his plans were disrupted. He was stopped. I think the world was genuinely surprised at the resilience of the Ukrainian military and the Ukrainian people when they stopped Russia in the Battle of Kyiv, forced them to into the east, and now are battling in eastern Ukraine for bringing back additional territory into Ukraine. It's cost the Russians dearly. They've had 30,000 killed so far, over 70,000 injured. Probably half of the tanks of the entire Russian military have been destroyed, about 3,000. Over 2,000 armored personnel carriers, probably 100 helicopters, high-performance helicopters, 30, 35 high-performance jets. It goes on and on and on. Now, obviously, Ukrainians had significant injuries also, but we have not lost one American troop, not one. They're doing the battles, and we're providing the ammunition. And so those weapons obviously are built by U.S. companies. We want to make sure that those weapons are used properly and are being accounted for and not end up on the black market. So we need to have accountability on that. But one of the things that people in America needs to realize, the Ukrainians are destroying the Russian military machine. They will take years to rebuild that capability.
So if we are sitting there thinking, gosh, this is an awful lot of money to be said over there, it is actually taking care of one of the significant issues that was a concern, the buildup of Russia, and knocks the way. Okay, how about China? Where do they fit in all this? Do you see?
That is our primary threat. China is everywhere. They are in Africa. They're in South America. They're all over Asia, obviously. They are attempting to take over the maritime routes throughout Asia to where they can control trade and stop the free trade of the world. And that's not acceptable. Now, people have finally woke up to that they're a potential adversary. We don't want to go to war, but we know from Ronald Reagan that weakness is provocative, and we need to have deterrence to stop China from moving, and say, into Taiwan if they see that if there's no support to protect Taiwan. 90% of the world's chip manufacturing is done in Taiwan. If China takes Taiwan and they control the chip manufacturing industry, everything we have in electronics, the world goes into a significant depression, recession. So we need to stop this before it happens. This Ukraine war never should have happened in the first place, by the way. We should have had the deterrence in place where Putin would not ever stepped into that. I think if Trump would have been president, that war never would have happened. But it did, and I think now Putin regrets that he ever went into Ukraine, but nonetheless, it's still costing the economy. And in China's case, we need to make sure we have the deterrence to stop China now rather than end up in some kind of kinetic conflict somewhere down the road.
And then a couple of times, Biden has kind of stepped in it where he's asked, would the U.S. come to the aid of Taiwan? Should China move forward? He seems to say yes, and then his people walk that back. It seems like you're saying, let's not even get there, right?
Right. We don't need to do that. If we give the Taiwan the armaments they need, the training they need to stop China, then China won't attempt to take that island by force. It's 100 miles between mainland China to Taiwan and very mountainous territory on the island of Taiwan. And if we can arm them with the right kind of weapon systems, and the Chinese know those systems that are there, they'll be very reluctant to go in to take Taiwan. And so best way to fight a war is not to start a war. Let's not have one. Let's make sure we have the deterrence present where we're not in a situation like we're in Ukraine right now. I wish that war wasn't happening, by the way, because, look, I don't celebrate these young Russian soldiers dying any more than the Ukrainian soldiers dying. It's a horrific situation. We're going into winter. A lot of people are going to, unfortunately, have a problem staying warm and being fed. War is a horrible thing. The best way to not have a war is to be strong. And right now, the United States has been showing some weakness, and we have to turn that around.
Finally, Congressman Calvert, back in the States, you were referring to over there, some people are going to be cold. What about winter here? They're saying with the cost of fuel and supplies that there may be some people in the Northeast who don't have heat or can't afford it. What do we say about our own folks?
And this administration has put us in this situation, Larry. We never should have stopped production of oil and gas and the exploration of additional oil and gas in the Gulf, in Alaska, and in other areas where we have significant energy. We can be not only energy independent, and to make sure that every part of this country has an abundance of energy, we can export that energy and make lots of money, which is a good thing. I'd have no problem, which will help our U.S. Treasury and would stop this a big move forward to stop this inflationary spiral that we're in. So there's no excuse for us not to be producing the energy we need and to build the pipelines to move that energy around the country.
And yet the first action that the president took when he became president was to put the kibosh on the Keystone XL pipeline and, you know, kind of stop that and make it difficult for some of the companies to drill and look at raising fees and things like that. He obviously doesn't want oil production here in the United States, does he?
No, he's bought into this climate alarmism, as I say. We can have the cleanest energy in the world is right here in the United States. We can work toward a clean environment and still be able to be the production of the world in oil and gas and our natural gas, which is much cleaner than Russian gas, by the way. And I'll guarantee you, the Europeans are desperate for that natural gas that we can produce. Heck, our own country is desperate for that. We could have gasoline for a lot cheaper. We've spent a lot of money. The American consumer, that's a tax on consumers as much as a tax on April 15th. If they got every day, they got to go pay another $20 a tank for gasoline or more. So we need to stop this. If people can't afford this. And by the way, the energy increases also affects food because, as you know, fertilizer is made out of natural gas, so nitrogen, and that's increased food prices considerably. Diesel transports food and any other kind of product all around the world and all around this country, and that's gone up significantly. So we need to put an end to this and get production of energy going again.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if you have any privy information or can share it, but there have been a few stories floating around about potential diesel shortages and the impact that could have. Talk about, you know, a railroad strike not going to happen. Can you imagine if we ran out of diesel fuel and the food supply chain being not able to be delivered?
You know, here we are, the wealthiest nation in the world, and we are put in a position where the regulators have regulated the refining industry so much that we are strangled and not able to produce enough diesel fuel to supply this country. That is ridiculous. We never should have been put in this position.
Should we have opened...
In California, as you know, we have our own formula for gasoline, which is great. We have cleaner air than we ever have had. But we need to give more flexibility to the refineries we do have left in California, many of which have closed, in order to produce more gasoline and diesel and energy that we need. And that is not, unfortunately, that's not happening, especially in California.
Not to second guess the president, but did Biden make a mistake by opening up the U.S. Petroleum Reserve and spending it down so far?
It never should have happened. Again, there's a decision made. We should have had our energy production. That energy is supposed to be used in a national crisis where you have a war that where all the energy is shut down and you can't get anything out of various countries in production and so forth. We never should have been in that position. We should have been producing our oil and shipping it out and keeping that reserve for what its purpose is. Now, we're going to have to fill that up again, and it's going to cost a lot of money. And, you know, it was unnecessary. It was totally unnecessary. We could have produced enough oil and gas for this country and for other countries around the world, and we blew it. It's terrible, terrible decisions that has crippled this country and has put us in a significant risk.
Finally, the border. Didn't get a chance to go there. Your reaction, Ed, Kamala Harris, the, you know, vice president in interviews always repeats herself saying the border is secure, the border is secure. And then we see these images shot by the Fox drone at night showing people streaming across. Even the government acknowledges the millions of people who've come here. Is the border secure, yes or no?
No. I mean, everyone knows with half a brain that the border is not secure. We have thousands of people crossing that border illegally every single day. And not just people who are coming here for economic reasons. We have probably up to 1,000 people that we have captured that have been on the terrorist watch list. That's the people we captured, not the ones the gotaways that are in the United States right now because of a lack of border control. We need a barrier. We need more guards down there to do their job, not rather than do paperwork to let people in the United States. We need to make sure we stop them from coming in the first place and that they come in legally and not illegally. We don't know who these people are that are coming in. Yeah. And anybody who says the border is under control ought to go down to the border like I have on a number of occasions. They'll be relieved of that illusion because it's out of control on that border.
But some say it's on purpose to reshape America, to refill a worker pool of people in this country, that there are other driving forces that we don't have control of.
Well, you know, a cynical person may look at it that way, I guess, but that's what's happening. Let's face it, it's an open border, not just people crossing that border, but drugs, such as fentanyl, which is killing upwards to 100,000 people a year. 100,000 people a year. What country would put up with that?
Well,
I mean, we lost over 50,000 people in Vietnam, and that was a national tragedy, and we're losing twice that every year because of fentanyl.
Yet Americans, by the most part, other than in your Congress, pretty much reelected a lot of the same. I mean, it wasn't this big shift. Do Americans need to wake up? Final minute. What do you think is the most important thing as far as the American voter and citizens to get some of this stuff solved? Do they have to get involved?
They need it. Yes. Yeah, you hit it right there, Larry. People need to get involved. We can't solve these problems unless the American people rise up and elect people that are willing to work on solving these problems. The border, energy, food prices, things that impact everyday Americans every single day. Now we're going to go in, I think we're going into a recession, Larry, and it's not going to be easy this next year. And so we need to do everything right. We can't be making mistakes this administration continuing to make mistakes, it costs the American people.
Even if it might make it easier to get Republicans elected in the future, we can't afford going down this path much longer, can we?
It may help us politically, but look, I don't care about that. I care about getting this problem solved where people can afford to live, they can afford to drive to work, they can afford to eat dinner, that they can afford to live their lives. We can't continue to go down this path. We cannot sustain it.
Thank you for your time. Extended interview with you, by the way, Congressman Calvert.
Thanks, Larry. You have a great weekend.
We're out of time for this edition of the program. We'll be back next week.
You're listening to Politics and Issues with Larry Marino. AM 590, The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.